Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping, rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door, "only this and nothing more."
I love the raven. It makes me feel like a torture.
Oh, nothing more this movie is.
You know, I probably would have appreciated that poem a lot better if you were wildly flailing about the room dressed as some kind of, like, goonie bird. I keep wanting to say we're recording London After Midnight, which... we're not recording London After Midnight because it's a lost movie and it's unrelated to what we're discussing. Although it does have a man in it, so that's the same. I started talking as soon as you took a bite of your breakfast sandwich, which doesn't help the show.
It does have a man in it, so that's the same.
It does have a man in it.
Pretty much every movie does.
I can't remember if the movie version of Real Women Have Curves has men in it. Probably does. Even the Steel Magnolias movie has men in it. All right, you're probably right. I mean, you know, there's probably some, like, indie films, maybe. Does Go Fish, or maybe not Go Fish, The Incredibly True Adventures of Two Girls? Yeah, that has men in it. All right, you're probably right. I am not confusing this movie, though, with The Incredibly True Adventures of Two Girls in Love. So... there's that. This movie's not London After Midnight. What is this movie we're watching today?
The Raven.
And it's from 1935. That seems the same year as Bride of Frankenstein. Before we go on, though, I did want to say that we made a mistake in our last episode.
That's not surprising.
By not actually discussing what Guillermo del Toro likes about The Bride of Frankenstein. So really quick, what do you think Guillermo del Toro likes about Bride of Frankenstein?
I think he liked the monsters being seen as, like, a person.
Yeah.
I think he liked the wackadoo science.
Yes. And the homunculi.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that scene that seems like a very almost Del Toro-y scene to me. Like,
I want a movie about the little people in jars.
I know. I don't want Del Toro to make it. Guillermo del Toro, I'm issuing you a challenge. At least produce a 15-minute black-and-white short film that serves as a mini-sequel to The Bride of Frankenstein that's just about the little people in the jars. Like, just, I want to see what his ideas are. Get a friend to direct it. You just produce it. Will you support me with this challenge?
I do.
Okay. I also think that he probably liked the fact that James Whale is a director who makes his vision known.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that Del Toro is like, yeah, like, I respect a movie that reflects the inner passions of the director. Like, also, of course, the grotesqueness of the situation and the, you know, none of the characters are great, but we still, like, have emotional investment in them. Like, we are, like, involved in what happens. And we, you know, in that Bride, I think the grotesque beauty is probably part of his bag. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with the Monster Man?
Yes.
That's me. I'm the personal monster man who lives in the house.
Are you the one stealing my wrappers from my room?
Gangster wrappers.
No.
Something is moving trash around our house.
Slithery, slithery monster in our house that's stealing my stuff.
We have a ghost in the house. It's stealing trash and then distributing it around the living room at night. We don't actually know what's happening. So if you're listening to this, Phantom, stop. All right, so this... this episode we're watching The Raven from 1935. Really quick before we dive into this movie, and I know you know nothing about this movie, but you do know something about The Raven. So based on the title alone and the fact that we know that Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi are in it, what are your impressions going into this movie?
It's going to be depressing.
Why do you think that?
Because Edgar Allan Poe was depressing.
Do you think it's going to be, like, if you just had the spitball, like, do you think it's going to be based on the what?
The Raven. I don't know. I just, like, it's called The Raven, but how do you make a movie out of that?
Right.
So, I don't know.
Who's going to play The Raven?
I hope that bat from Bride of Frankenstein.
It's just, that's not a raven, it's a bat. That's not a bat, it's a shoe. It's an old shoe that they use in the Bride of Frankenstein. So you think it's going to probably be depressing like Edgar Allan Poe?
I don't know how else, it's not going to be lighthearted. It's on this list.
His movies do tend to focus on lost loves.
Oh, great.
So we'll see what happens. Do you think it's going to be about Bela Lugosi pining after a dead
Boris Karloff? I hope it's about
a
raven man.
A raven man? It's a superhero movie?
No,
oh.
like an evil raven man, like the mimic bug.
Oh, that'd be great if it unfolds. That's not its face. It's its beak. That's not a hat. It's its feathers. That's not a long coat. It's its wings. The raven. Well, there's only one way to find out. See you guys in an hour, because that's how long this movie is. Universal's
The Raven.
What are you trying to do to me?
Torture you.
Oh, try to be sane, Valen.
I am the sanest man who ever lived. But I will not be tortured. I tear torture out of myself by torturing you.
When I think of Edgar Allan Poe, I think of ridiculous interpretive ballet.
Same.
And apparently, so did the director of this movie, Lou Landers. Universal's 1935 horror film classic, The Raven. What did you think of The Raven?
It was awful and I hated it.
Oh, by the way, something we haven't said. I'm Phil.
And I'm Ollie.
And it's Del Toro time. It's not.
I thought we did that for our intro.
What?
I thought we did that during the.
Did we do it?
I don't remember.
If we did it, I'll cut this part out.
No, you won't.
Hey, hi. Ollie.
Hey, Dad.
You know what I like?
What?
A good movies.
Me too.
You know what I don't like?
What?
A bad movies.
Wow, we're so in sync.
Ooh, on the scale of good movie to bad movie, where would you put what we just watched?
Bad movie.
Oh, The Raven. It's a Universal horror film.
Is it?
It's the second appearance on screen together of Boris Karloff, who we liked in Frankenstein, and Bela Lugosi, who we haven't seen in a movie yet, but here he is. What's this movie about?
That's a hard question. I'll just explain the plot as quickly as I can.
As quickly as you can, hitting all the major points.
Stop sexually harassing my daughter. Ha ha, no. The end.
The end. What's funny is I've heard this movie described many times, and it comes across as far more interesting in a description than it does in execution. So roughly, Bela Lugosi is a crazy surgeon who's retired. Like, I can't emphasize that point enough. He's not actually operating on anyone anymore. He's like, nope, I'm retired. And they force him to come out of retirement to, why again?
Because the girl was in a car crash and her nerves were something. That's basically how they described
it. Tell me my daughter was in a car crash and her nerves or something. Which is, yeah, that's pretty accurate. Bela Lugosi is pulled out of retirement to operate on a judge's beautiful daughter.
Who only comes out of retirement because he is flattered so much.
Yeah, oh, he's like a total narcissist.
And it's awful.
He's also obsessed with Edgar Allan Poe.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we first meet him, there's a guy from a museum like, please give us your Edgar Allan Poe collection. And he's like, no. Come back later, I will show you my Poe. Let's talk about Bela Lugosi a little bit.
I don't know that much about him.
But let's just talk about his style. How would you describe Bela Lugosi's acting style?
A lot.
Yeah.
It's extra.
He's an extra, extra actor, which is fine when he's playing Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, the eyes and the children of the night. What a beautiful music. But then when he's just supposed to be playing a guy, it doesn't mesh well with
no.
the script. Because he never stops being Bela Lugosi.
He never stops being Dracula.
What does it strike you as Would it strike you as odd if I were to tell you that he was also considered a bit of a sex symbol?
Yes.
He was considered an alluring Eastern European. Like, he was supposed to be, like, not, like, sexy, but, like, he was so different. And, like, there was no one else like him in Hollywood. So, like, you put him in a role, and you put him in a role because, like, he was supposed to be somewhat attractive. It wasn't supposed to be that unusual that a woman could find him alluring. Does that make any kind of sense to you?
No.
Well, that's fine because there's no Okay, so he saves this woman's life, and then what happens?
Nothing.
Well, I mean, so then it cuts to, like, a while, like a month or so later, and she's, like, hanging out at his house.
Yeah, because she, like, feels gratitude that he saved her life, and it's like, I don't know how to repay you.
And so you get the sense that he's attracted to her.
Yeah.
Kind of. But also she's engaged.
And she's, like, not into him.
To this, like, British David Niven type.
Who's also a doctor.
And you know he's British because he has a little mustache.
That always looks different in every single scene.
It looks pasted on or drawn on or hastily assembled. But Bela Lugosi is not happy with this, or... He's obsessed with torture. Like, that's his thing. He's like, I love torture. And he's like, I love Edgar Allan Poe because he was obsessed with torture, too. And I'm like, was he? Was Edgar Allan Poe, like, obsessed with torture?
No.
Like, if you read his short stories, is that what you got from them?
Like, I think there's more to the short stories than torture.
Than torture. And you, okay, I'm going to admit, it was hard to understand what Bela Lugosi was saying at times. He talked a little bit, though, about, like, internal, like, he has internal torture. Why?
I think Lenore, like...
Yeah, was there, like... He has... So, he... You also get... He hints the fact that he has a torture chamber in his home. Under, like, hidden. Underground. Was something supposed to have happened to him as a young man that leads to him being... Like, we don't know. He also insinuates that he was in a war at some point. So maybe he was psychologically damaged. But we don't know. If you're supposed to feel any kind of, like, sympathy towards this man, on a scale of none to 100, where is your sympathy for Bela Lugosi?
Negative none.
Speaking of no sympathy, we're introduced to Boris Karloff. And what is he?
A murderer.
Yes. Who, what did he do?
He put a blowtorch to, like, a shopkeeper's eye.
Yeah, because the shopkeeper was, like, yelling for the police. So already we have two wonderfully sympathetic characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, later on the murderer becomes kind of sympathetic.
Right, in that...
He saves lives.
Yeah, but only after he deliberately puts them in the harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
It's that Frankenstein thing. Only at least Frankenstein's monster had the benefit of, like, not being a real person and also, like, kind of being an infant. Like, but Karloff's movie is just a career criminal. So the woman's dad, who's the guy who's like, please save my daughter, goes up to Lugosi and is like, look, stay away from my daughter now. You're creeping me out. She's engaged. I don't want her to get a wrong idea about you. Oh, and also, she's a dancer. So we joked about this a few minutes ago, but what is happening on this stage?
I don't know.
So we've got this wonderful set. It's a great set of, mm-hmm, like an internal, like a man's drawing room. And there's a man at a podium reading The Raven, or reading the first two verses of The Raven, while I almost called her Lenore. I'm not going to give the movie that much credit. While Jean, is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Jean? While Jean, who I guess is a dancer, does a dance? Is that what you would call it? Like, she's dancing while he's reading The Raven, and there's, like, really dramatic music playing.
Yeah.
In a full house! And then curtain. It's like a 5-minute dance, and then curtain. And that's when Bela Lugosi comes backstage, and it's like, you are wonderful, the Raven, the torture. And her father is like, stay away from my daughter. So Bela Lugosi, through a series of contrivances and coincidences, contrives a plot, mm-hmm, of revenge for...
There's no clear motivation to this movie.
Something? So, what happens with Karloff?
He gets his face disfigured.
So he shows up at Bela Lugosi's house. Why?
Because he wants his face changed because he's a criminal escaping from the law.
Right. And so what does Bela Lugosi do?
he says, okay, disfigures his face and says, I'll make you handsome after you do this thing for me.
Right. So in like a 2-minute conversation, Karloff is like, I've always been ugly my whole life, and I think that's why I do evil deeds. But you said...
No.
He's not that ugly. Like,
he's not ugly.
He's got an ugly beard on. It's a fake beard. Mm-hmm. A clearly fake beard.
But, like, he's not an ugly person.
Yeah, Karloff is... He had, like, heavy brows and, like, haunted eyes, but Karloff was just a normal-looking guy. And so, like, okay. And so... Bela Lugosi gets the idea that if I make this guy ugly, he will then be driven to do evil deeds. But that's not even what happens. He makes him ugly and then blackmails him. Like, do evil deeds. And what are these evil deeds?
Murder?
So, Lugosi invites the Jean and her husband, British Bobo David Niven, and a bunch of other people to his
like their friends.
To his house, his castle or whatever, for a night of... horse racing game.
Not real horse racing.
An awesome game.
Which I want.
Describe this game.
It's a giant circle, and there's like 600 horses, 600 fake horses, and you spin the circle, and then whichever horse stops last wins.
Yeah, it's like a horse racing board game.
I'd play it.
It's a gambling game, and it's kind of like a roulette, I guess, but like with real like figures of horses. And then, like, you watch them race around this track, and you place bets on them. And, like, to me, that's my favorite part of the movie, is watching these little horses race around the track. Your favorite part of the movie was Boris Karloff's grunt.
Mm-hmm. He sounded exactly like Frankenstein in that scene.
He does a Frankenstein at one point, and you're like, they made you do that. Like, the director was like, you have to do the Frankenstein. You have to do the Frankenstein.
No one's going to recognize you if you don't do the Frankenstein.
Well, it's kind of like you can't have Johnny Weissmuller on stage. He's long dead, of course, but unless he does the Tarzan yell. Like, he was Tarzan. Whenever he was anywhere, people would be like, do the Tarzan yell. And he'd do. I'm sure whenever Boris Karloff went, people were like, you have to do the monster mouth. So he gets disfigured. Describe this makeup, though.
It looks like Two-Face.
Yeah, he Two-Faces him.
But... it's like not real.
Yeah, it's not. And
but it's not the movie's fault that it's not real looking.
How do you mean?
It's too cleaned up.
Yeah.
Like the picture is too cleaned up.
Yes.
So you can see details that you normally wouldn't be able to see.
Yeah, watching it in like a modern like high def and like a restored image does not help the way this movie looks. It makes Karloff gets a lot of close ups, and it looks like someone bought a Halloween makeup kit and did like bad makeup on this guy. It looks like a
mess.
It looks like a mess. Well, because part of the makeup is his eye.
Yeah.
Which is obviously just part of the makeup. Like it's like something how I don't know. Like, oh, and how long did the procedure take that disfigured his face?
10 minutes.
Right. Because it didn't have anything to do with cutting or knives. It was all like
the nerves get to control your muscles. I can manipulate them.
Right, but controlling the nerves in your back doesn't, like, make your eyes slide down your face and, like, bulge out. Like, it's... I understand that it's a hokey horror film, a quickie horror film, but, like... Anyway, so all these people come to his house, and they're playing with the horse racing game, and everyone's like, oh, yawn, I'm talking... Okay, so there's Jean and her beau. There's this other woman and her
boyfriend.
There's Pinky.
Pinky
and her boyfriend, Pinky. Who's also British. There's an older couple.
Colonel and a nice woman.
She's
my favorite character.
Yeah, these two other characters. Like,
who are obviously from a completely different movie.
Because they're the comic relief. Mm-hmm. And everyone goes to bed. And in the night, Boris Karloff is supposed to... So everyone switches room, like... She's like, I'm afraid. So Boris Karloff is there as like the servant now.
Yeah.
And Lugosi's like, oh, don't be afraid of my servant. He was injured in the war. Everyone's afraid of him, though. And like, she's freaked out. And the judge comes. He's like, I want you guys to come home. I don't trust this Bela Lugosi. And they're like, no, we're going to stick around. And then there's a storm and the tree smashes through her window. And Boris Karloff comes up through a trapdoor, but he doesn't do anything. I can't. What's the... So, in any case...
There was no actual plan.
Yeah. Karloff kidnaps the judge and takes him through a secret panel.
But doesn't cover his mouth enough.
So he's screaming the whole time, waking up the entire house.
Well, waking up the fiance of
right.
Gene.
David Niven. I can't call him David Niven. That's not his name. Jerry? Is it
Jerry?
Jerry,
yes.
Jerry, a very, very British name, Jerry.
He was a nice guy.
He's a nice guy with a bad mustache who tries to follow them into the secret chamber, but...
It closes.
Yeah. I don't know in any case. So down in the secret chamber, they strap the judge down to...
The pendulum.
Yeah, so it's the pit and the pendulum. Remember, this is The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe, I guess. They strap him to the pit in the pendulum thing. It's not a pit, it's just a pendulum. Strap him to a table, which is controlled by electronics, because it's the future. This is all high tech. And he's like, you have 15 minutes, and then it'll slice through your heart. And he's just torturing him. He's like, I love torture. And then everyone gets down there, and they're held at gunpoint.
No, not yet.
Oh, wait, we forgot about the elevator. You have to talk about the elevator.
So, Jean is in her room. Now it is her room because she switched back because there was a tree in her window. And she wakes up because everything's shaking. And she's like, what is happening? Her room is an elevator.
Just what part of her room is the elevator?
All of it.
All of the room is an elevator?
Yes.
Okay. Who built this house?
I don't know.
Is this Batman house?
I hope not.
Did Bela Lugosi have everyone who worked on this house murdered after they built it? Because what is this house?
You're asking the wrong person.
So her whole room is an elevator, and it comes down into the basement. The doors open and then shut again. There's a great shot, though, where her boyfriend tries to come into her room. And almost dies because he's like... He opens the door and he tries to rush in, and there's like just a pit there.
My movies.
My movies. He almost falls. He catches himself on the doorknob. Fortunately, it's a sturdy doorknob. Pulls himself back up. But everyone ends up, I don't remember, they all end up in the dungeon. It's a torture dungeon, like with the rack and the Iron Maiden, but none of that stuff gets used.
No.
Instead, Bela Lugosi has Boris Karloff. Bela Lugosi has a gun on them.
Mm-hmm.
He has them go into another room. He's like, this is where you'll live as a couple forever.
You'll never be separated.
And then he shuts the door on them. But what kind of room is it?
The squishing room.
It's the squishing room. It is, as Boris Karloff said, or as Bela Lugosi says, it is the room where the walls come together. Which immediately brought to my attention the fact that there's no good term for that room. Like, this is the pit and the pendulum, and this is, like, the Iron Maiden and the rack, and here is the room where the walls slowly slide together and crush you.
A crusher.
A crusher room, or... It's the garbage disposal from Star Wars. It's that, and...
It is a garbage disposal. That is how that works.
And, through this whole time, like, Boris Karloff is like, this whole thing's a raw deal. I have no proof this guy's ever gonna actually fix my face, and I kind of like this woman. She was nice to me. So Bela Lugosi shoots him for trying to save the woman.
He saves the couple.
Yeah.
They get out. He drags Lugosi.
He headbutts Lugosi in the sternum.
Which is awesome.
And he drags him into the squishing room. And then we get to see a wonderful shot of Lugosi freaking out in the squishing room. But we don't get to see him get squished.
For good reason.
Karloff succumbs to his gunshot. They save the judge. And the comedy couple
have been asleep this entire time,
and we get a wonderful shot as Bela Lugosi is about to be crushed into his component molecules. He's like, ah! And then it cuts to, they're like, wait a minute, where's the other couple? And then it cuts to them snoring loudly in their room, snoring because they're larger. So we're like, oh, big old couple laying in bed snoring. And then
that's the end of the movie, though, right?
Oh, is it? Is there no other? Certainly we get a final scene that makes us feel comfortable with the actions of this movie.
Yeah, right?
Some good falling action.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, good. What's the final scene that makes us feel good walking out of the theater?
Well, Gene and Jerry are in the car together. We almost got crushed. Oh, I'll do some crushing tonight, but gentler. Oh, you're the bad raven, aren't you?
The end.
The end.
That's literally the last scene. It's literally the last scene. She makes reference to the fact that they were almost crushed. He implies that he's going to get his crush on tonight. And then she's like, ooh, Exactly what you said. Oh, you were the big bad raven. Okay. All right, so we end on a sex joke, and then that's it. What happened to Lugosi? He was literally crushed.
How did they get out? The everything was shuttered.
Right. So there's this giant, like, wall of switches, and each switch does something stupid. And, like, one of the switches makes her room be an elevator, and one switch turns off the telephones, and one switch brings down giant mafia shutters. And, like, and at one point, all the electricity goes out. I assume that it's working on a generator then. Yeah, the whole...
What?
Lugosi is a mad... He's like, oh, he's a madman, which means that Lugosi is, like, cackling wildly this whole movie. There's a great scene right after he... Okay, so... I enjoyed aspects of this movie. There's some stylish stuff. There's a great scene when Karloff first wakes up and realizes he's disfigured. And Lugosi, one after another, opens a series of mirrors surrounding him, like in a half circle. And he sees himself reflected from all angles. And it's an effective little moment. And Lugosi is up in this little, like, moon door.
It would be effective if that wasn't happening.
And Lugosi is up in this little door, his little face looking through it going, hee-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, the whole time. So, yes, and then Karloff shoots each of the mirrors in turn and then turns to shoot Lugosi, and he's used up all of his bullets. None of this. Okay, so Karloff only showed up at Lugosi's house on a lark. Like, there's a scene with him and another guy earlier, but you don't know who anyone is. So it's like, what is happening? And then next thing you know, Karloff is showing up at Lugosi's house. You're like, oh, okay. If he hadn't come to Lugosi's house for surgery, none of this could have happened.
Because
it all depended on Lugosi disfiguring a man, which he only comes up with on the spot. So he's got this torture idea set up, but no way of making anything happen.
Maybe he was going to disfigure the museum curator that was supposed to come by.
The woman, Jean, only her room was an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
But she had switched rooms. The only reason she went back was because a giant tree smashed through her window on accident. If the tree hadn't smashed through a window, that couldn't have happened. If anyone had bothered to run a little faster, none of the closing doors would have trapped any of them in any part. Like, the whole movie is a series of, like, what is even happening? Karloff's makeup barely functions. I will say this. Everyone is acting their butts off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one is half-assing it. Like, they're earning their money. Like, however much they got paid. I hope they got paid. This is a bad little movie.
It's awful, and I hate it.
However.
It's hilarious, and I love it.
I enjoyed watching it. Not just in a I'm making fun of this movie way, but it's only an hour long. 1 minute into the movie, and we've already seen a car crash. We've seen, like, people discussing how to save a woman's life, and then we've cut to a phone call to Lugosi. Like, it moves fast. There's no chaff. There's, like, they pause for a conversation, and that conversation lasts, like, 15 seconds, and then you're on to the next thing. So it doesn't overstay its welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's welcome.
No.
But it's also, I don't know, like, it's hard to hate him. It's not, I don't hate it. Like, it's not like, it it's got its charm. It's Lugosi and Karloff, and they're trying so hard. Everyone's trying so hard.
I still hate it.
I love it, but I think we both enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
Like, you turned away a few times, and you're like, I'm done. I'm done. So this movie was banned in England.
Banned for being terrible.
It was banned for being horrific, because it dealt with torture, disfigurement. It led to a brief ban in England on all horror films. They were like, nope, we're done. We're done with horror for now. It bombed. And I want to read a little bit of the initial New York Times film review of this movie. If you were as curious as we were to see how the movie makers would combine The Raven and The Pit and the Pendulum, using Karloff and Lugosi in the process, you may be interested to learn that what Poe suggested to the script boys was a story about a mad surgeon. The chap, Mr. Lugosi, had read Poe so thoroughly he had gone wacky, kept a stuffed raven, no, Mr. Karloff does not play the raven, on his desk for luck, and built a torture room in his cellar. When the father of the young woman he would espouse refuses to give his blessing, the surgeon invites all the principals to a house party and then, cackling ghoulishly the while, tries out his torture machines. If it had not been for Mr. Karloff, this time with a dead eye, a slack mouth, and a few other cute touches, the death rate would have been terrific. Of course, it must be said that Lugosi and Karloff try hard, even though, both being cultured men, they must have suffered at the indignity being visited upon the helpless Edgar Allan. But if The Raven is the best that Universal can do with one of the greatest horror writers of all time, then it had better toss away the other two books in its library and stick to the pulpies for plot material. The stage show presents Herman Timberg, Tip, Tap, and Toe, a dancing trio, the Digitanos, the Gay Foster Girls, and Freddie Mac's Orchestra. I don't know what stage show he's referring to, but I guess this showing was part of a double bill. That was the movie review. The Screens, The Raven, with Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi, is a horror film in more than one sense. So that was part of the New York Times review of The Raven. And critics hated it. Audiences didn't go see it. It was only in, like, later years that people started liking this movie. Can you imagine why?
No.
I think maybe in later years people stopped taking it seriously. Like, I think at the time people would go see this movie and they're like, great, another Universal horror film. Let's go and see, like, schlock, but classy schlock. And
I mean, after I stopped looking at it as, like, a horror movie and instead as a comedy, I enjoyed myself watching it.
Speaking of as a comedy, so we had this idea for a remake.
Mm-hmm.
How would we remake this movie?
As a comedy.
As a farce. So they set it up in this house with a mad scientist and his disfigured assistant or bumbling assistant trying to get everyone into the right room and into the right torture room. But they keep switching rooms and there's trap doors and secret passageways and a comedy couple. And the main, so you have your main couple, your older comedy couple, and then you're like, sort of squeaky voiced young woman, and
who's
her,
like, really sassy, and they, like,
I guess they're the best friends. So you've got, like, three couples, an evil guy and his henchmen,
an old man,
a series of, oh yeah, the old man, the judge, a series of rooms, a series of torture devices, and a lot of running around. This is a great farce.
Mm-hmm.
This could be hilarious. And how about a horror farce? Like, make it scary when it needs to be. Like, really put the characters in danger. No one gets killed except the main baddies. And I think you've got a winning stage show.
You can even keep the sex joke at the end.
You can especially keep the sex joke at the end. It's like, they almost crushed us. Maybe get a little crushing tonight. Well, aren't you my big bad raven? Why not? And the curtain comes down and then everyone comes out for their bows and we all love it. The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. Edgar Allan Poe spinning so hard in his grave, the ground catches on fire. I mean, it's not worse than this. I mean, the big question, though. Here we go.
I don't know.
What on earth does Guillermo del Toro see in this movie?
Probably the torture devices.
Okay. So we get that. We do get the guy strapped to the pit in the pendulum. And as a young person watching this for the first time, I can see if I was a kid watching this, being like, oh my God, like, ooh.
I've seen too much. I've seen too much.
We again have, like, the disfigured person, a person who's, oh, it brings up a theme that it handles terribly, but it brings up a theme that I think Del Toro probably liked, which is, does your external appearance necessarily affect your behavior? Does a person who has a twisted face have a twisted soul?
Only if they're tweeted. Treated.
Only if they've tweeted. Keep going.
Only if they're treated by a twisted person.
Right. So I can see where thematically, okay, this movie does not handle any of these themes. I won't even say it doesn't handle them well. It doesn't even handle these themes. It brings them up and then drops them like a hot potato. But I can see where, like, Del Toro, he plays on those themes of, like, the ugly disfigured person, the monstrous face versus the kinder heart. We know that, like, Karloff doesn't have a kinder heart originally. But like, yeah, there's that whole thing of like external versus internal, like your treatment being how you, it's kind of another Frankenstein story. Like Lugosi creates a monster and Karloff is the monster who does his bidding. Like it, I don't know. It's got some cool, like, it's got some good camera work.
Mm-hmm.
Some nice set pieces.
It's a very well-made movie.
Yeah, it's shot well.
It's just awful, and I hate it.
There's actually a handheld shot, like a handheld camera shot, when Karloff first enters Lugosi's house. It's a little unnerving. It's got themes of confinement and like the machinations of a madman. It's a little bit of a puzzle story, even though it doesn't go anywhere. Switches get thrown, contraptions get moved around. So I couldn't find anything about Guillermo del Toro actually talking about The Raven, but maybe it's out there. The only thing I could find was just a brief mention that this was pretty strong stuff for 1935. This was a filmmaker in a studio really pushing what was acceptable. And so, you know, you have to kind of admire that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were trying for shocking horror.
It was a bit ahead of its time.
Yes. Like, if this had been made in the 1970s, it would have been grisly as all get out.
It was made very ahead of its time.
Yeah. couldn't quite pull off anything that it tried to pull off. But I will say that Irene Ware, who played Jean, was...
Very pretty.
She was very pretty. I loved her hair. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. She was a former beauty queen, and she did just a ton of movies. But it looks like her career petered out in the late 30s.
I wonder why.
And yeah, I guess it was like nothing that really made her, unless she died. Did she die? No, she lived into the 90s.
Oh, good.
She was 80 in her 80s. She was 82 when she died. Thank goodness. I didn't want to be like, well, it's like her career didn't take off. Oh, it's because she was in a horrible car accident. No, I enjoyed her. I bought her as a heroine. Mm-hmm. I didn't buy their relationship.
Mm-mm.
Between her and her boyfriend. He was, I won't say that he was an ineffectual nothing, but he didn't pull it off.
They were more like siblings to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but I liked, I mean, he was fine. Like, everyone was good. Like, everyone did a fine job. But yeah, so The Raven, 1935 by Edgar Allan Poe. Ollie, here's the moment where we say whether we recommend this movie or not.
I wonder what you think I'm going to say.
What do you say?
No.
You do not recommend this movie.
No. Okay. That's not true.
Okay, you're going to qualify it.
I recommend this movie if you're looking for something to laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but not as just a movie to watch to enjoy the movie.
If you're looking for a fun, schlocky, universal spook 'em up, then yeah, if you're looking for one that's like, I don't want to watch like a good horror movie. I want to watch one of the bad ones. But then you're like, oh, the bad ones are usually just torture to sit through. This is a good one. It's not hard to sit through. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's a hoot if you're having like just friends over and you're like, let's watch like a battle horror movie. Yeah, it's good. It serves that purpose. You will not lose sleep over it. You will only lose...
The only thing I'm losing sleep over is the demon that's been sneaking into my room and stealing my candy wrappers.
And stealing all your candy wrappers. The director... The director of this, Lou Landers, if you look at Lou Landers' filmography, he directed every movie between 1934 and 1963. He directed about 1,000 films. So I don't know anything about his, you know, I look at his list of movies, I don't recognize any of these. Like he was a studio director. Our next movie, though, is by someone who is not a studio director. Our next movie is not a piece of cinematic schlock. Our next movie is considered by many to be one of the greatest movies ever made. Not to build it up. Our next movie on our list, we will be watching Charlie Chaplin's Modern Times.
Like the cafe.
Just like the Modern Times cafe. Full of delicious meats. I can't wait to watch Modern Times. I have seen it. I saw it in college, but not since college. And
I'm not going to be able to watch anything in college.
Why not?
Because I'm going to already have seen all of them.
Yeah, you'll be that person to be like, seen it. You'll be the one curating movie nights. They'll be like, hey, Ollie, what should we watch? You'll be like, cracking your fingers. Be like, I know exactly what we should watch. The Raven.
But what are you, like, finals week, we need to watch something lighthearted and funny. The Raven.
Yep. They'll be like, hey, Ollie, we want a scary movie, not too scary, but one that's not in black and white, also silent. And you'll be like, Nosferatu. Because that is the only like sort of scary silent movie we've watched. Ollie, it's finals week. Can we watch a 4-hour reconstruction of a formerly silent film? You're like, I've got just the thing for you. Of course, by the time you're there, it'll probably be like, they'll found the footage. Then it'll be 9.5 hours long. You'll be like, hooray. And to answer anyone's questions, this movie, The Raven, is available on DVD. It's been cleaned up. It's a nice copy. Even the sound was good on this one. It didn't have any of that hiss that we've gotten on some of our older movies. You can get it in the Bela Lugosi collection, or you can just buy a single standalone copy of it on DVD. It's also included in just a lot of horror movie collections. So just do a little searching around. You can find it. You can find it for cheap. I was not able to find it streaming. So you'll have to pay a couple of bucks for it on DVD. You can even find it, I don't know, used on DVD for just a few dollars and get it. You know, I won't say it's a worthy addition to your collection, but if you're looking for the complete universal monster, like horror movies, this definitely is usually considered like one of those movies that people suggest you see to get the full experience. So there it is. Get it on DVD.
I hated it.
You hated it. I didn't hate it, but it both comes mildly recommended. So next time, total switch of pace. Charlie Chaplin, Modern Times. Everybody else, check out our Facebook page, Del Toro Time. Check out our Twitter at Del Toro Time. Drop us a line, review us on iTunes, please, if you like the show. Mm-hmm. And once again, I'm Phil.
And I'm Ollie.
And we'll see you when
it's Del Toro Time.